Good day to you, church, and welcome to Rylane Chapel Online Church. Today, we come to the next in our series of questions that Jesus would ask of us. And we've come to Matthew 7, verse 3. The question is, why do you worry about the speck in your neighbour's eye when you have a big plank of wood in your own eye? Good question. Let's think about that together. Can you recall the times when Jesus openly expressed anger over what was happening right before him? You can probably remember Jesus outside the Temple of Jerusalem when he overturned the tables of the merchants buying and selling because they were making a mockery of his father's house. There were also many other expressions of anger directed at the Pharisees and the Sadducees when he addressed them very severely, saying, and you find this in Matthew 15, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. He said, these people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." However, in the text which we had read today, Matthew 7, verses 1 to 5, there was also one occasion when he addressed his own listeners. That's people like you and me, not the Pharisees. And he addressed us as hypocrites. So my question to you and to me this morning, how can we be sure that we are not hypocrites like the Pharisees? Remember, Isaiah 29:13 said, "These people honour me with their lips." That's us. We honour God with our lips, we sing praises, but their hearts are far from me. Is that also us? So, from a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being very high, where do we position ourselves on the hypocrite scale? I've got three key points today. Number one, do not judge. The text opens with a straightforward and direct command. There is no beating about the bush. There is no exceptions or negotiations. It is clearly stated, do not judge. Let's be honest, we all do it. We are so quick to pass judgment. We do it all the time. We judge our bosses. We judge the government, our neighbours. We're quick to condemn faults and failures as if we know any better. We judge people's work, their contribution, their effort, their offering. We judge a person's traits, their body shape, their beliefs, their race, their education, their position in life, their role, their jobs. We always find fault and criticise for their shortcomings without any consideration to find the truth. And we're all at fault because we all do it. We read in verse 2 that disobedience to this command comes with a consequence. And it's followed up in Romans chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. And it really illustrates it very clearly. You, therefore, have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you condemn yourself, because you pass judgment, do the same thing. you who pass judgment do the same thing. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? To judge each other is an act from our sinful nature. Why do I say that? Because it is in direct opposition to God's command. Therefore, it is a sin. When it comes to judging, our sin actually disqualifies us. Look at John 8, verse 7. It's about when the lady was caught in the act of adultery. And the leaders were questioning him. And it says here, when they kept on questioning him, that's Jesus, he straightened up and said to them, if any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Jesus is saying, if you are without sin, go ahead. Otherwise, you are disqualified. Why? Because sin itself will be judged. Sin is in no position to sit in judgment over others as if it is capable of doing good. You see, judging others is totally self-centered. It uses our personal measure as a plumb line, i.e. those things that seems right in our own eyes, to use our plumb line to assess whether a matter is right or wrong. The trouble is, then, that our self-based plumb line is never aligned with anyone else's plumb line. And as a result, there can be no agreement except your agreement with yourself. Judging others is deceitful. It denies our wrongdoing and assumes innocence. We hide our faults by raising another person's faults into the spotlight so that it is never on ourselves. Judging others is boastful. It boasts that we can see clearly and that we speak truth, when in reality we are even more blind than the one in whom we find fault. Here's an example. Peter. What Peter said on the night when Jesus was betrayed. He said, even if all fall away, I will not. Boasting that everyone else will be failures, but I will not. When we judge others, we boast. We would never do such a thing, not like that. But in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 17, says, let him who boast in the Lord. If you're going to do that, boast about God. For it is not the one who commends himself, oh, I would never do that, who is approved. There is no approval in there, but the one who the Lord commends. So then, the question must be asked, who then is qualified to judge? Let's go back to that story of the lady who was about to be stoned. Jesus said, he that is without sin should be the first to cast the stone at her. So who was it there on that day who was without sin? Yes, it was Jesus himself. He is the true judge in John 5:22. It says, "Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son." You see, at the appointed time, it is Jesus who will judge the living and the dead. But he did not condemn her. There was no judging her for what she was caught in the adultery. So how can we place ourselves above God's authority? See, when we criticize and find fault, we come with some kind of counterfeit authority, which assumes that we have the right to judge others. Brothers and sisters, let us agree at this very point that we will not step into that place again to judge another. Leave that to God and to God alone. Point number two. How do we deal with our planks? I mean, we all have them. We all have these planks of wood in our eyes. And just in case if people are confused, I don't have any planks of wood in my eyes. Where's that coming from? It's a metaphor for pointing other people's faults, but in actual fact, there is a big fault in our own. In fact, the act of judging makes that little thing that you had in your eye a big beam. It's the act of judging that makes everything else worse. Our wooden metaphoric planks come in all shapes and sizes. Already we've covered some of the sin planks, boasting and hiding and being deceitful. But there are other planks of wood that could also be used, one to point out other people's, but they're in our own lives, because we all have stories of failure. So why should we judge someone else who has failed? We all have emotional planks, issues that bug us and get in our way and dog us. And so why would we come and judge someone as weak or, oh, they should have got over that by now? It's been a long time. They still haven't recovered. What about our habits? They are cause for us to be concerned. So why are we talking about someone else's? And so we can go on, planks in our own eyes, specks until they become planks. So what about removing these planks? Because Jesus did say, first, remove the plank from your eye, and only then will you see clearly to remove the plank in your brother's eye. And notice how Jesus considered the act of casting judgment of greater wrongdoing than the person being accused. So how do we clean up our act? We have to be honest, and we have to understand, and we have to confess that we will never, ever get rid of our weaknesses. We are constantly prone to temptation and the need of restoration for our failings. So when Jesus said, first remove your plank, he knew we will never, ever get there. Otherwise, the command, do not judge, would have been, do not judge until you have been made perfect. Do you get what I'm saying? It still is, do not judge. And that word will never ever change. We're talking about the process of sanctification. And that's an ongoing process. We are declared holy, but we're also being made holy. And that process is worked through by the Holy Spirit in our lives, and he is conforming us into the likeness of Christ day by day. But that work will not finish until we go to glory. So is there a time, then, when we will be okay to judge? Clearly the answer is no. But that does not mean we should be complacent. We are called into fellowship and obedience with the Holy Spirit, who will continue the work of sanctification in our lives. What he calls of us, what he asks of us, is to be open and honest with him, with the Holy Spirit. Be open and honest with the Holy Spirit. Confess your faults and allow the Holy Spirit to be open and honest with you. Be open and honest. Don't hide. And allow the Holy Spirit to be open and honest with you and me. Psalms 139, and we all know it, verse 23, 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And we come now to my final point, the correct way. What should our attitude be when we are targeted by judgmental people? People saying things about us, etc., etc. We have all been on the receiving end of that stuff, and it can be painful. The Apostle Paul made a very interesting statement when people were judging him and comparing his work for the gospel with others. And in 1 Corinthians 4, 3 to 5, he says this: I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. I just love that. I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I don't even judge myself. And sometimes we do judge ourselves harshly. But considering again, what is the correct way? If we cannot judge each other, what do we do then when things are not right? You see, people will disappoint us. Our brothers and sisters will make mistakes. There will be failures. We will still be discerning sin and disobedience amongst us. And you will notice people's faults and it will irritate you. They will jump to conclusions and make bad decisions. You will find many reasons to criticize each other. But don't. Don't do it. Here are some clear instructions from the Holy Spirit how to deal with these kinds of issues so that we do not fall into judgmental, this sin of judging each other. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. So if you find fault and you judge that person, consider that person better than you. So you're not better, you're not good enough, you're not able to judge that person because that person is looking at you. Consider yourself, consider others better than you, and then you will be unlikely to judge. That's the attitude. Here's another one, Colossians 3, verse 12 to 14. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. If we're quick to forgive, we will find issues, we will get annoyed, the temptation will be to come to some judgment about that person and that person's character, how they are letting everyone down. But no, first of all, be tender-hearted, with humility, considering them better than you. So if you're pointing the finger that way, remember those three fingers coming back to you. There's three coming back to you. Those three levels of condemnation coming back to you. They are better than you. That's the biblical point of view. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. That leads to sin. In Galatians 6, verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. So if you're looking to lead someone in the right way, do it with humility, knowing that we are very prone to falling ourselves. With respect, with honour, with dignity, lead that person. Not boastful, brashful, harsh, haughty. Watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. And finally, Ephesians 4, 29-32. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for the building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. If you have anything to say, turn it around so that it is about building that other person up, not knocking down. Jesus is building his church. He doesn't need people coming in with their wrecking stone and the heavy ball and the sledgehammer to knock it down again. If anything, work with the Lord. If you see something that needs a little bit of an adjustment, a little bit of a correction, and we are here to correct each other, that's the word of God. It's a sharp, two-edged sword, equipped to teach each other, to strengthen each other. So if we're going to speak prophetically, and do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Some of you may say, that means I've got nothing to say. Well, that's good. Say nothing if you've got nothing positive to say, but do not say anything destructive, because Jesus is building his church. He is not allowing anyone to knock it down. That's working against the Lord Jesus Christ. So in closing, in all we do, we are, Ephesians 4:12, we are to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So as church members, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, if we can all have this one objective in our minds and to fulfill nothing else but this vision as the church to help each other grow in the Lord, this is our ultimate vision. If we do that and be single-minded about it and protect this particular activity, we will be completely unstoppable. You see, God is waiting to see how serious we are to follow him. Let's start by loving each other the way God wants us to love. May God bless you and keep you.